following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College.
Wings up, Eagle Nation! Touchdown, Georgia Southern!
This is Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics.
Taking a look through all the other action in Georgia Southern athletics this past week. A lot of road action. A lot of teams hitting the old I-16 out of town.
Getting on the steel horse and taking us to parts north, south, west, wherever. Can't really go too much farther east.
Now, let's return to the Learfield IMG College studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
That's a fact, Jack.
Into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics. Colin Lacey alongside the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed. It's also a very special day for Danny Reed. Happy birthday, sir.
36. Back half of the 30s. It really does go downhill from here.
That's what I hear.
But for everybody that's reached out, sent me a message and all that, I really do appreciate it, and thank you for that. And big day for you last Friday. Making your debut on the radio as the voice of Southeast Bullock.
I was trying to figure out what you were talking about.
Well, it's a big day for a lot of people. We had Frank's birthday yesterday. Him and I went to lunch today, so we had co-birthday lunches.
Oh, very nice. Where'd you go?
I can't say.
Get you some pizza?
We got some za, which is a word if you play Scrabble or Words with Friends.
Oh.
But.
Probably a 12-pointer?
Nah, it depends on if you can get the triple letter, triple word.
Good point.
But you made your debut with Southeast Bullock last Friday.
That we did. It was a... it's very different because that was the first time I'd ever called a snap a football.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. So it can only go up from here. But no, it went well. Really appreciate Aaron helping me out with doing some stats and stuff. And boy, do I appreciate a stats guy now. I was always like, yeah, you know, I mean, it's here or there, whatever.
Yeah, football is one of those. It's very, very difficult to dance around.
Trust me, I fully get it now. But we've got a packed episode. It is finally game week for Georgia Southern football. Not only is it game week, birthday week, going to be finding out. Uh-oh, hello. We have a special guest in our new studio bunker.
I don't know if he's special or a guest.
No, I think he's both. That's not nice. Terry Harvin making his way in. New general. I guess you're not new anymore.
Well, that's what I mean. He's not really a guest. He's the boss.
Are y'all on the air?
Yeah, we just started.
This is awesome.
We are literally on.
Hey, this is great.
I got to turn your mic on.
Wow.
You're getting ready for Saturday.
Turning my mic off.
Yeah, just wait. Remember, I've got control of the mute button.
So me walking in totally... screwed up this whole thing, didn't it?
No, this was the plan because he had your lower third ready.
Actually, I was using it as a placeholder since we're redoing a bunch of stuff around here. I was using it as a placeholder as one of the top three.
Look, the redecorating is really nice. We've got the Drain the Swamp picture. We got some stuff from late 80s, early 90s. Kid dreaming of watching, I'm going to say, Darren Willis catching a pass up there.
It was really nice until... If you look on your Facebook live stream from about here and half the screen that way is not decorated yet. We're only expecting to have two people.
That's awesome.
There's kind of a line of demarcation right about here.
Is that what this is? Okay, I get nothing over here.
So. Yeah, it's fine. You fill it up yourself.
Y'all get to have all the fun, so I thought I would just step in.
That's fine.
By the way, I'm on that print behind you.
Which one?
Just for the record. I'm right there. See if you can find me.
Which one are we looking
at?
Oh, it's there right in the middle.
See, that hurts,
you're right in
guys.
The middle. Sorry, I was looking on the kind of edge.
That looks like a really athletic play you're about to make because it looks like 34 is about to tackle you, and it looks like the other dude's about to.
So let me tell you, let me break that play down.
Dance
so what I did was I tucked it, I faked the kick, I rolled, I did a spin move, and then I took off down the sideline and scored.
That's what you were going to do at middle in, what was it?
Yeah, that 80? Was maybe Pop Warner football.
It was at 90?
I had a dream, you know.
The one field goal snapper, you threw the pass.
Oh, yeah. That was great. That's Middle Tennessee State. Yeah. the Blue Raiders.
Yeah. Scott Chafin.
And Booch Donley was the head coach for Middle Tennessee State. It was the only time I ever been to a football game. I think it's probably the only college football coach that had a song named after him. So they would sing a song, like country song, Booch Donley. Anyway, you go to Murfreesboro, that's all they have to do up there if you've ever been up that way. But anyway, so yeah, that happened. A ball, you know, I rolled out, almost got killed. And
have you ever seen the video of that?
It's beautiful.
No.
Pure athlete, wasn't I?
He broke a tackle.
Yes. Yes, and there was a stain in my white pants afterwards, but that's a story for another day. But it was 4th and 1, and I made a 1-yard pass, but we didn't get the first down, so go figure that out. Did you see that on video? You got to show me. Actually,
I've sent you that. I texted you
that. I don't want to see it. That'd be embarrassing.
I could make that available if you'd like.
Send it to me again. But since you have a guest coming in, don't you?
We're going to be visiting with Dave Friedman, the radio play-by-play guy for the Gardner-Webb Running Bulldogs, fighting Bulldogs. Running Bulldogs.
They're called the Running Bulldogs.
Bulldogs. Not running. Running apostrophe.
It's like Raging Cajuns. Running Bulldogs, Raging Cajuns. No G on the end of it.
Yeah, well, I know y'all are going to get into the nuts and bolts of this ball game, so I'll let y'all do that. You know, I'm nervous for every game, so it doesn't really matter who we're playing. But in particular, when you have two Lamb boys as your coaches, that kind of adds a little bit to it for me. So I'm a little squeamish coming to this ball game, but I do want to say?
Yeah, I was about to say you had a
purpose.
You had a motive for coming in here. I have a feeling.
Y'all are doing this tonight because we're not doing a coach's show.
Correct.
So have y'all announced that Hail Southern Live will be Thursday night?
Yes.
No, we have not.
You have not officially.
No. Well,
a couple people had asked us on social media. We shared that with them, the name of what the show is going to be and when it's going to be, but we haven't blasted
Got
out.
It. Well, Hail Southern Live is because. We need to do something to encompass all the sports and the university, and obviously Hail Southern is a big deal. So we were looking for a different name and thought Hail Southern Live would be a good one just to encompass all. So it's an inside look to Georgia Southern Athletics. You'll still continue to do the show, and it's going to be really cool. We got some new features we'll do this year, some different shots, working on some new software programs so that the show will stream not only on Facebook Live, but also on GSEagles.com and maybe U2 Live and some other things. And we have some new sponsors as well. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. And the first segment will give you the opportunity to talk to somebody other than the football coach, for instance, you know, Chad Lunsford. And we're going to do it at Bishop Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. I know there's been some questions about that. And, you know, the elephant in the room, well, besides myself, because I need to go on a diet, is this whole COVID thing, right? So what y'all did last year at Bishop worked. But now let's invite the public in. It's a controlled environment. So what a great opportunity to bring the kids. Let them go play on the field. You know, you can go up there, have something to eat, have an adult beverage or a Coke.
Go play on the field?
No, y'all can't. Y'all have to work. Right. But then the coach can come straight from practice. Chad Lunsford can come straight from practice on a Thursday and come on up and do the show with y'all. So it's a good opportunity, again, being at the field right there at Allen E. Paulson Stadium. I think it's going to work out just well.
Just fine.
Very nice. So Thursday, the debut of Hail Southern Live.
Hail Southern Live, Thursday.
Gene Bishop Fieldhouse.
Of course, Morris Bank is the presenting sponsor for football season. So they're one of our big sponsors for that. And then Macon Occupational Medicine will be a new sponsor y'all will see on there. That'll be on the graphics. Macon Occupational Medicine is helping us to make sure that we can pull this off, because typically you're doing it at a restaurant or something like that. So they're making that happen for us. So, of course, Blue Mile Catering will be doing the food for us. So Macon Occupational Medicine out of Macon, Georgia, we appreciate them. They'll be doing that and also helping provide the streaming services for us. So because of those great sponsors, we can start doing some other things, right? So that, again, being where the fans are, 365, 7 days a week. So if you can't watch it live, you can go back and watch the recorded version.
Sure.
If you'd like to watch it live, you can do so from your phone, from Facebook Live or YouTube Live or on website, gseagles.com, of course. And then, of course, on our great radio partners. So we have a great one here in town, 94.9.
Yeah, so it's part of what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks and months of adding new ways to get Georgia Southern content. We launched the YouTube channel. You'll be streaming on YouTube TV on that part as well, doing it on gseagles.com, here on Facebook Live as well. But I know there's a big part that you're really excited about, not necessarily for Hail Southern Live, but kind of transitioning since it is game week, First home game for Georgia Southern is the season opener against Gardner-Webb this weekend, and a lot of really big food partners that I know you're really excited about.
I am excited. As you could, I wish you could use a thin lens on this camera, and unfortunately it doesn't.
That's why the lower third's there.
So lower third, okay, yeah, cut the belly off. But I do enjoy food, and tailgating, of course, and football, it all wraps up around it. So we were looking for great opportunities with our sponsors, right? Some of our food partners, and also looking at it from a fan perspective. And I got to give Jared Benko, our AD, and Chris Davis, our deputy AD, a lot of credit for, because they're always thinking about the fan. What's the experience like for them? And what they kept coming back to is Ibis does a really good job with our concessions, but knowing a brand all at the end of the day is about who you know and trust, who you think of first. Yeah. So the opportunity for our fans to walk into the stadium and see a concession stand branded with Zaxby's and be able to get a Zaxby's sandwich, right?
That's huge.
That's a big deal. Yeah. Or Rolling Monkey. If you haven't been to Rolling Monkey, that's a pretty cool place. Handcrafted ice cream right there at the stadium.
Had a couple of athletic fundraisers over there over the summer.
Yep, they helped out a lot of different programs there. They've done a good job, and they're local. And, of course, we don't need to tell you about the story about Zaxby's. If you're a Georgia Southern person, you know the story of Zaxby's. Your Pie is a great opportunity for Your Pie to come in. Your Pie is owned for this local franchise in Statesboro and in downtown Savannah by Joe Hunt, a Georgia Southern grad who used to be in franchising with Zaxby's. A little bit crazy there, right? Hired a lot of Georgia Southern folks, and he bought the franchise here, so he's going to be providing Your Pie at the games. Cicero's, which I love me some Cicero's now. Fresh Mex.
Yeah, you seem like a Cicero's guy.
I am, because, you know, the problem is it stresses me out because I get there and I want everything, yeah, right? So can you put this in there? And so you think you're being healthy, and then you just throw it all
in
there.
Well, that styrofoam can only hold so much.
It is, and, you know, they're working on a bucket for me, you know, that looks like a hat, a sombrero, but they'll bring that out. But Doug Purrier and his team out of Blackshear, Georgia, he owns 8 of them in Southeast Georgia. And then, of course, here's another tradition that everyone knows the name, Vandy's Barbecue. Vandy's Barbecue will be there, and they'll have a concession stand. So that's just some of them inside the stadium. And the other exciting things that we're doing is obviously the tailgate concert. So you guys will have a different look. I should say you will have a different look. Danny and I will be running around the parking lot in the golf cart. Did I tell you that, by the way?
Running around in a golf. Does that mean I got to run alongside it? Or
yeah,
do I got to drive?
That's I'm going to loosen you up a little bit, okay, so that you'll be ready for the game.
Okay.
No, but we have a great tailgate stage that's being done for the radio crew thanks to Whitfield Signs. It'll be the Cutwater Spirits tailgate stage being all redone, which awesome, is fantastic. Cutwater is spirits in a can or cocktails in a can or ready-made drink, whatever the right term is that you want to use. You get the idea. On the opposite end, where the end of the Eagle Walk happens, we'll have a big stage set up, and that'll be the Cutwater stage as well. Cocktails, pregame rock concert. We have a 90s rock band coming in starting at 3:30. We'll play until 5:30 because we want fans to be in the stadium in time for Freedom's Flight from Morris Bank.
It returns this year.
It returns. Morris Bank, thank you. Stepping up and looking forward to Steve Hine. He's already been out there practicing. I've had a great chance. If you have not had the opportunity to go by the Lamar Q Ball Raptor Center, I highly encourage you to do so. Steve gave me a tour. Unbelievable facility. Unbelievable. Yeah. So there's a lot of, and I'm taking up all your time, a lot of great things happening this year, and I'm very excited about it. Now we just have to pull it off. Oh, by the way, On-Field Cabanas, the Bud Light Cabanas in the end zone.
Yeah, five of them already sold.
Bud Light, big sponsor. As y'all know, we're having alcohol inside the stadium thanks to our good friends at Bud Light, so you'll have all the Anheuser-Busch products in there.
Okay, concessions-wise, do we know the locations of some of those new offerings?
Correct. On the that would be the north side, which is what some folks would call home, right? The press box side.
Yeah.
When you're walking up from the tailgate lot, on the first one on the right, it's going to be Zaxby's.
Okay.
Okay. You go down a little further, and then there'll be beer stations, by the way, on the right when you're walking up. And then as you go right in the middle of the courtyard in front of what folks know as Eagle Club, right, there'll be a beer section, and there'll be Rolling Monkey right there.
Ooh. So right behind the press box is Rolling Monkey.
Right behind the press box.
That sounds about right.
In between the quarter, where are you going? Going to Rolling Monkey. Anyway, go get me one of them little things. I'm going to wrap it up. Anyway, where's Terry? He's playing with Rolling Monkey ice cream down there. He's doing it again. So anyway, they'll have a beer station there, and then a little bit further, right past the University Bookstore where they sell, is going to be Vandy's Barbecue. So then if you flip to the other, oh, let me stop. On the green hill, the grass hill, right? The green hill. The grass hill right there near.
Between the press box and the FOC?
Yeah, there you go. We'll be providing cardboard boxes again.
That's awesome.
Sliding down the hills, thanks to our good friends at Domino's. So Domino's Pizza stepped up with cardboards, the pizza boxes, and you'll be able to slide down the hill. And during the game, we're going to do a Domino's Dash, which is going to be a race. So a Domino's Dash, and that'll be fun. So
I like that.
Until they hit the brick wall. But no, we have padding for that too, so we're all good. On the opposite side, I'll make it quick. Obviously on the field, right on the Field of Dreams area in front behind the end zone will be the Five Cabanas. Then on the opposite side, you'll have a big Bud Light tent, which will be the Bud Light fan zone area where they can buy beer. And then you keep swinging around. You have the regular concession stands, the great French fries from Ibis, of course, will be there and other things. Then go down a little further, you'll have Socheros. And then a little bit further, you'll have Europie Pizza. So a lot of fun stuff. So, Danny, there may be times where I'm not up there with you because, you know, I like to make pizza.
There may be times where I'm not up there with you.
Well, maybe we're up there eating. So, eating, you know. Taco in a cup might be a little bit of a challenge for me today.
Your taco with a cup is kind of taking a back seat now, hasn't it?
It really is. It really is. But thanks for letting me barge in on y'all. I know you have that key interview coming up. And excited about football season. Excited to... you know, the fans never went away. They just weren't in the stands.
Right.
Fans, it's 365, 7 days a week. And that's what fandom's all about. And there's no better example of that than Eagle Nation with Georgia Southern because they follow us. And that's what's made our jobs a lot easier in that businesses, corporate partners who understand us know that our fans will do business with them because of who they're doing business with, right? And that's what's excited. So we've got a lot of new ones. Vive, have you mentioned Vive already?
I don't know that we've mentioned that. It's going to be live from the Vive broadcast booth.
That's right. Did you know this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Just making sure. I forget what I tell y'all when I don't. Live from the Vive broadcast booth. That's right.
It's got a couple more days.
That's what the live read looks like.
That's exactly how it's going to sound, of course. And Ford will be back. Synovus Bank, Morris Bank. So we have a lot of different banks there. State Farm. Two State Farm agents, Matthew Tyson, whose dad, Alan's always been involved, right, with the program. And Matthew graduated from Georgia Southern, but Pat Parker, who is a punter here at Georgia Southern.
In their commercial, you're actually going to hear Alan and Pat Parker going back and forth on the read. It was cool to have both of them in the studio the last couple days.
Oh,
last
that's week, awesome. Maybe? That's great. So anyway, a lot of fun stuff. Peanuts. We appreciate that we got the Peanut Commission back again. Of course, the National Guard.
Got Heritage Peanut as well.
Heritage Peanut. I'm very excited about
you
them.
A boiled peanut guy, Danny?
I haven't had them in a while, but the time I did, I liked it.
See, I'm not usually a boiled peanut guy, and I never realized that boiled... I know you are.
Daryl Lynn's big on boiled peanuts, too.
I never realized that boiled peanuts were goober peas.
Yeah.
I thought it was two different things.
Oh, yeah.
You're such a goober.
Yeah, I know. Miss that.
What a goober you are.
They've got so many different flavors with Heritage Peanut. It's...
Yeah,
I might have to try them.
Yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff going on this year. And again, okay, you know, have some patience because obviously it's game one, right? So we're going to get back. There may be some things that you see game one that the next home game will be a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's just the way it is. But it's just so good to get back and having fans here that I'm excited. So thanks for letting me drop in on you. I'm going to go back to work. Got a proposal we're working on. We have some more because we're not stopping. We have more and more people that are wanting to jump on with us and be great partners. So thank you, Eagle Nation, for doing so. And thank you, Danny and Colin, for what you're doing here.
Hang on. We've got a question coming in on Facebook Live for you.
Uh-oh. Who's it from? It depends.
From Glenn Ingram.
Oh, Glenn. Yeah, I got your invoice, Glenn, okay? I'll pay you. Would you get off my butt? I love me some Glenn
Ingram.
He wants
to know what your favorite part of game day is.
Ooh.
And has it changed now? That your role has changed.
What I can do in public?
That's true.
We're not going to know that until Saturday.
That's true.
That's a valid point.
I am freaking out a little bit more because it is a totally different animal, right?
So does that mean I can mess with you now?
Yeah, you probably can. My favorite part about game day and game is waking up. Because you wake up, it's like, oh, game day.
We got a game.
In particular, and y'all all know when it happens, remember when you walk outside in the morning and the air just feels different?
It's the smell.
Yeah.
It smells different. You know it's football season.
It's on your skin. It's, and you know, the little tingle, and you go, it's that time, that, right?
For sure.
And there's that's the fun part. And so, yes, Glenn, I know where you're getting at. And thankfully to my good friends at Cutwater Canned Spirits and Canned Cocktail and Spirits, they also make a Bloody Mary in a can that's already pre-mixed. It's actually pretty good.
So, have the cases been trucked into you yet?
No. We won't do that, of course, you know, but we will... Okay, we might. Yeah. But anyway, there'll be a lot of that. But there's, you know, it's game day. It's just all the excitement, seeing the fans, it's seeing people. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to sports, in particular Georgia Southern, it helps you forget everything. And goodness knows we need to forget some of the things that are going on right now, of course, in our world. And it's just a nice escape, right? So, and during the game, you're going to see some of... You know what I'm talking about, what's going on in Afghanistan and with military and, of course, with COVID. So we'll do some things to recognize and honor that, particularly our military personnel. So we're excited, very excited about that. But, Glenn, my most favorite part about game day are the fans and the people and to see the little ones. I love to see the little ones.
Appreciate you coming by.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for letting me stop in.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
You know where we are.
I do. I see this. Does Chris Davis know we took over this room yet?
That's your job.
Yeah. Hey, Chris. By the way, Chris, since this room wasn't being used, we've taken it over. Thanks to our good friends at Macon Occupational Medicine. There you go. But anyway, I'll see you guys Thursday. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep,
but
yes.
Definitely Thursday night. And looking forward to that. And I don't know what food I'll have there yet.
Ooh,
but I know
it
will be good, I'm sure, because it's from Blue Mile. They do a good job.
Always.
Thank you, my friends.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. Once again, the incomparable Terry Harvin.
That took care of the first segment.
That took care of, yeah.
And I think
always
we,
does.
And that's a lot of stuff that we needed to get out there, too. So that was productive in a lot of ways.
No doubt.
Taking my mic and going
home. He's taking his microphone and going home. He's gone.
I really am. He gone. Love y'all. Mean it.
Goodbye, Terry.
Go Eagles.
G-A-T-A.
Just one more time.
Kind of disappointed it took until he was heading out of the room for that.
He didn't say Fido, though.
No. He'll get there.
Yeah.
Still early.
Yeah, it's true.
But we are going to move right along on this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. I told you we had a packed version of Inside Eagle Nation. We're going to be catching up with Dave Friedman, the voice of the Running Bulldogs of Gardner-Webb here in just a few moments. Also going to be doing our final position group breakdown. I'm going to do the back seven. It's going to be a little bit different version of the back seven when we get to Gardner-Webb.
In our case, it's the back eight because we play that 3-4 thing, but same idea.
That too. I just can't add. I knew that.
But everybody says back seven because it's just the what you think of.
That's true.
Because you think front four, back seven.
Correct.
If you have more than that, well, that's a flag. And we don't like flags.
No. Eagles don't beat Eagles.
I know one person that likes flags.
Who?
Think about it.
Like, oh, I got
there
it.
There you go.
Yep.
There it is. There it is.
I got it now. But, yeah, I got it. I didn't know that's where you were going with that, but that works.
I get it.
Yeah. But before we get to Dave Friedman coming up in our next segment, I need you to talk a little bit about what's your favorite part, and you did it a little bit with Terry, and he kind of stole it a little bit, but what your favorite part of your game day is. And your game day goes kind of long, but what your favorite part of your game day is.
When he brought up the idea about how the morning of a game, whether it's a Saturday, especially in Statesboro, especially when you're home, or for some reason, if it's a Wednesday or a Thursday, because we've had to do that a couple of times since making the move up. You just know that whenever you wake up in the morning, that there's something special that's going to happen at the end of that day. Now, it may not be the very end. It might be early enough in the afternoon where you're kind of get up, get your thoughts in order, get your bearings, and then you head to the field. You like to try to visit with some people, especially if it's at Paulson Stadium. If we're on the road, we're there for, you know, more than just the day of the game. And that's where we really get close as a crew. And that's the part of Georgia Southern football that I really enjoy, the road trips, because that's where the members of our crew, we don't just hang out. We don't just travel together. Frank said this. Russ has said this. We're friends. We're really good friends. We have a vested interest in what's going on in each other's lives. This isn't just something where we see each other 12 or 13 weekends during the fall. That's where we have our most fun. But that's our reward for having to wait the other 9 months until all that gets here. Now, this weekend, Russ will get down sometime Saturday afternoon. Frank will get there sometime Saturday afternoon. We'd have to wait for Terry, but now that he's living in Statesboro, he'll be there probably about the same time. Yeah. But the fact that we are all going to be together in just a couple of days, that's football season. Yeah. And getting to see everybody else, that's Georgia Southern football season.
We will move along into the Gardner Webb version of our Inside Eagle Nation podcast this week, as we are now joined by the voice of the Running Bulldogs and Dave Friedman. Dave, appreciate you joining us.
I'm happy to be here. How are you guys?
Doing well, man.
Good.
Take us into, and Gardner Webb has had I know we've talked about it a lot with Georgia Southern, but Gardner Webb has had a crazy last 12 months of what Gardner Webb football looks like. You didn't have the spring or the fall 2020 season that you thought you were going to. It got pushed to the spring with a lot of FCS programs. But what is it that kind of the last 12 months have meant to this team, having that four-game spring season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the coaching staff, a really, really young coaching staff, has been given an opportunity to evaluate and make some determinations of who can play at this level and who can't, and who their top guys are and who they need to focus on. And I think it was almost like a glorified spring kind of workout season. I think when they originally put together the spring season, it was serious and it was like a fall season. And by the time games were canceled, there was a ton of COVID stuff. The first two games kind of went off the way they had hoped for. And the second two games were serious, but they were kind of glorified practices and learning who your roster is and making some evaluations too.
Dive into this offense for Gardner Webb under Trey Lamb in his second season after coming over. What has the real change been on the offensive side?
Well, the change on both sides has been the line play. It was not particularly deep or effective under the previous coaching staff, at least towards the end. And Trey has come in, and that has been the biggest emphasis in recruiting. More depth, more athleticism, bigger, faster, stronger, all the things that every coach would want and every coach preaches and talks about. But in the case of this coaching staff, particularly on the defensive side, but offensively too, they've recruited guys that are just better than were previously in place. On the offense, Clayton Frady, their right tackle, is all that. He's 6'5", he's 300 pounds, he's only a sophomore, all-conference player. He's a key guy. Defensively, Ty French, the defensive end, just shouldn't really be playing at this level, and they're now going 8, 9, 10 deep on the defensive line. So they've gotten just a lot better in the trenches.
Ty French is definitely somebody that jumps out on film, and of course we in this area know about him from his days at Colquitt County High School. When you watch him with four tackles for loss in his debut against Elon this spring, and you're probably thinking, okay, how did he end up at Gardner Webb? But that was an embarrassment of riches on that D-line, at least from that standpoint.
Trey Lamb would tell you he shouldn't have ended up at Gardner Webb. That was a whole lot of people whiffing and missing and recruiting with COVID, but he's a special player. I mean, he's a guy that you'll watch and go, geez, he should be playing at this level. And particularly as a pass rusher, I don't know if he's going to be as effective against the run. Obviously, we're going to see a ton of run on Saturday, but he's a dynamic guy. And particularly the modern offenses that pass the ball, you know, 40 and 50 times a game, he's going to go get the quarterback.
When you dive into kind of personnel for the offensive side for Gardner Webb, the big thing that jumps out from the running back room is Nari Gaither, the junior out of Rock Hill. What is it that he brings to the table for this team?
You know, he was a guy that Trey Lamb recruited when he was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee Tech. He was a terrific player in Rock Hill, which you guys know is a big-time football area. And he has gotten to Gardner-Webb and done everything he was expected to. As good as a freshman and good as a sophomore, terrific pass catcher. He's good third down as a blocker. You can hand him the ball. He can run patterns. You can swing it out to him. He's kind of a do-it-all guy. And on an offense that doesn't have a ton of returners, lost a couple of key wide receivers in the transfer portal, Gaither is that one consistent, reliable offensive weapon.
You mentioned about losing your top two receivers with Harper and Gathings both transferring out, but you add Luther, you add Skanes from UConn. They have made an effort to try to find some speed to make up for what was lost.
Yeah, there's no question. I think the tight ends are going to play a much bigger role this year too. Dalen Thomas is a guy they like a lot. It's an offense that wants to go up tempo, that wants to throw a ton. Who the guys that are going to be your primary pass catchers are, I've been to two scrimmages. It can be different from one drill to the next, from one scrimmage to the next. They're still working all that out. Gaither is going to play a big role. Freshman running back Donovan Jones, he looks like he's going to play a big role. Those receivers, it's going to take a few weeks to figure it out. And honestly, their best receiver might be Jamison Turner, who won't play this Saturday. He's coming back from a torn ACL, but should be good to go maybe by conference season.
I look at quarterback Bailey Fisher, number one, because this is his second stop, two, because Trey Lamb has experience coaching him during his days as the OC at Tennessee Tech, but also for people in Georgia, he's the guy that was the quarterback before Gunnar Stockton, who announced as a five-star he's going to Georgia, but Fisher was pretty good at Raven County with over 12,000 career yards, too.
Yeah, I mean, they've got four quarterbacks that have all worked with the ones in preseason. And Fisher is obviously the most experienced. He had a couple of really good years at Tennessee Tech. I don't know that he necessarily wanted to leave, but they were changing the offense. Trey Lamb was his offensive coordinator. He's very familiar with it. And I think he's a guy that Trey is really, really comfortable with. Jai Tolan is a left-handed sophomore, terrific with his feet. Tavon Bowers was on the roster at Wake Forest, more of a pocket passer. I think whoever they go with, there's serious upside and reason to be optimistic, but Fisher is obviously the seasoned option.
You talked about the trenches on both sides, offensive and defensive line, but in the back seven, back eight for you guys, who were the guys that really jump out for this defense?
You know, A.J. Thomas had a terrific year last year playing kind of that nickel role. He's going to play boundary corner this year. And they have a youngster, Raekwon Owsley, who's going to play opposite him. He's a Florida track kid, a 4-4 type. And they're really high on him as well. Damian Williams, Georgia Tech transfer veteran, has played with Gardner-Webb the last season or two. My broadcast partner, Reggie Walker, who played in the secondary at Penn State, thinks the secondary is the strength of this team. The coaching staff and I think it's the front. It's the defensive front. But he's a former safety, and he thinks this is a really gifted unit.
Overall, for this Gardner-Webb team, what's the feeling around that program? And kind of, we talked about the strange calendar with playing the four games in the spring for your schedule in 2020, technically. But what's the feeling around this team getting ready for this 2021 season?
I think there's a ton of excitement, as there should be at every program in the country before you play a game. I think there's a lot of optimism. I mean, just the numbers of kids that are on the team up dramatically, the energy, the excitement level, the stuff they're doing with a young coaching staff on social and digital media. It looks like a modern, young, up-and-coming program. I think the fan base is energized, but there are a lot of questions, right? I mean, you played four spring games after missing the entire fall, and you have a new coaching staff. It's going to take some time for everything to be worked out, but I don't see any reason they shouldn't be optimistic. If you take the 2019 team and now look at the 2021 team, skipping over the four-game spring season, They're just dramatically more talented. They just have better players.
What was that spring season like for you? I know you do Winthrop basketball as well, but what was that season like for you while you're playing football when it's normally the tail end of basketball and into baseball season?
Well, I've got a lot of charts I can auction off for you that we didn't get to use because games were canceled. It was bizarre. It was weird, but some football is better than no football, right? I mean, they got out there, they played, they learned some stuff. We got a chance to interact with the coaching staff and gain a rapport. And yeah, some of that stuff had to be done on Zoom and we all had to be doing the testing and all that sort of stuff. But it was good just to have football. It was a very, very weird fall where I thought they were going to play up to four games. It seemed like they were probably going to play two games. They had a game against Charlotte canceled the Friday before a Saturday kickoff. So, you know, it was something and we'll take it.
Dave, really appreciate your time. Really appreciate your insight on Gardner Webb. Have a safe trip down to Statesboro and we'll talk on Saturday.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you guys. Good luck.
Thanks, man.
Once again, that's Dave Friedman, the voice of the Gardner Webb Running Bulldogs, as they will be making their way to Allen E. Paulson Stadium this weekend.
Haven't seen him in about 4 years.
I know. It's been a while. I always forget that he is also the voice of Winthrop basketball.
He's done Winthrop basketball for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And he's gotten to go to quite a few NCAA tournaments. I think Winthrop had a 12-5 victory 1 year. He was there when they beat Notre Dame. That was an 11-6 matchup. That was one of the best teams Winthrop ever had when Greg Marshall was still the head coach quite a few coaching cycles ago. But somebody that it's been in for a long time and somebody that really cares about what he does and does a really good job.
Strangely enough, that's not the only jobs he has. He's also a magician.
Yes, he is.
How about it? I still want to go to one of his magic shows.
Well, John Morgo's a comedian.
Yeah, he is.
I guess in some way we're all comedians.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very accurate statement.
Here's, before we get deeper into this, all right, what would your I also do this job be?
Oh, goodness. Yours would be an impressionist.
The thing that hurts me is that the impressions that I do are just people that I know. I can go in front of a captive audience and do an impression of Jay Walker. I mean, not that people don't know.
So you could.
Yeah, but I could go to Atlanta to a club and do an impression of Jay Walker. Who's Jay Walker? Who's Barry McKnight? Who's Brian Freeman? Not that people in those fan segments don't know who those guys are, but I don't have nearly as many famous people.
I know it'd be a riot at Sunbelt Media Days. Instead of the Fado Doe, that's what we should do.
That'd be a good test case.
I still think we should do it.
I feel like if I did the Keith Gill impression, that would probably be where the show would end.
At least your show.
Yeah, because somebody would probably say, okay, that's enough out of you.
Big step. I don't know what my other I also do job would be.
Could say umpiring.
Yeah.
That'd be tough to pull off with as much travel as involved, but yeah, it could be.
Yeah, we'll go with that one. Yeah. But before we dive into what Gardner Webb looks like on our spotting boards, take a look at everything that's gone on the last couple of weeks.
Spotting boards.
Or the last couple of days for Georgia Southern Athletics. Georgia Southern men's soccer. We talked about the 1-0 victory against Presbyterian to start off the season this past Thursday over at Eagle Field in Irk Park. Then they made their trip up to Charlotte, North Carolina to take on the number 18 Charlotte 49ers. Fell 3-1 to a Charlotte team that was a little ticked off. Earlier that week, they had fallen to an unranked Maryland team. And so it just kind of took the frustration out on Georgia Southern, but I believe scored the first goal and fell 3-1 to the Charlotte 49ers.
That's still an experience, though.
No doubt.
You lead a ranked team at their place. That's something that maybe a couple of months down the line, you pick back to that and say, you know, we didn't win this game, but we proved that we could play with that team.
They'll be heading back to North Carolina this Friday as they take on number 4, North Carolina, a 7 p.m. kickoff on Friday. And then they make the trip over to Spartanburg, South Carolina, to take on Wofford on Sunday. That also a 7 p.m. kickoff.
Not terribly far away from Boiling Springs, North Carolina.
That it is not.
Get the upstate of South Carolina and about as low as you can go in North Carolina, fairly close to the border. So those aren't terribly far away from each other.
Busy start to the season for Georgia Southern women's soccer. A 2-1-1 overall record so far in 2021. We mentioned beat Jacksonville in their home opener over at Eagle Field in Irk Park. A 3-0 victory at the hands of the Dolphins, and then carried that winning way into Sunday as they headed up to Charleston, South Carolina. A 5-1 victory and a heck of a game by Marcella Montoya. She had a hat trick for Georgia Southern.
Sure did.
And that's pretty historical, because per Chad Jackson, and most of the notes that we get are from Chad, let's be honest, it's the first time that Georgia Southern has had a hat trick in nearly 20 years. It was the Citadel back in October of 2001, rather. I forgot those two zeros in the middle. October of 2001, as Katie Zonsko got the hat trick, and that was the last one until Marcella this past Sunday.
I know we talked about Chris Adams' scheduling during the spring, getting a chance to go to a couple of SEC teams, but three separate trips to Charleston to begin the season? Dog knows how to schedule, because the weather's still good down there. Well, the weather's good most of the time in Charleston anyway, but getting a chance to go to CFC, Charleston Southern, and going back to the Citadel tomorrow to try to go 2-1 during that swing.
As you mentioned, they will head to the Bulldogs of the Citadel tomorrow, 4 p.m. the kickoff from Charleston, South Carolina.
Right near the parade grounds, Wilson Field.
I was about to say, do they still play on the grounds?
It's right outside of the cafeteria.
Ah, gotcha.
And the parade ground is a little bit off to the left side of that, but it's a small enough campus where everything's within walking distance.
Then after that Tuesday match, they will head to Jacksonville, Alabama to take on Jacksonville State on Sunday, September the 5th. That a 2 p.m. kickoff for Georgia Southern women's soccer. Heck of a start to the season for Georgia Southern volleyball. Had a 3-0, 3-1, and 3-0 victories as they swept the Bash in the Borough. 3-0 against Presbyterian on Friday. 3-1 against Coppin State to start on Saturday. And in the evening against Bethune-Cookman, swept 3-0. Against Bethune-Cookman to a 3-0 start in the Bash in the Borough in the 2021 season.
And Mark Janak saying that's the first time that volleyball has started 3-0 since 2013. Even more impressive when you're down four starters, and yep, there was no Madison Brown, there was no Chamblee Russell last weekend. Also, Coppin State was the preseason favorite in the MEAC. So trying to work in a new rotation, a lot of freshmen, and still being able to start. And when you sweep a weekend at home, Chad Willis says you get a dance party.
We were talking to him earlier on today.
You get a dance party.
Talking to him earlier on today, and Haley Blitz caught up with him for Coach's Corner. That's going to be on Blue White Weekly. That'll start this week. That'll go out on WJCL on Saturdays. Yep. It'll also go out on Bally Sports South, back on Bally Sports. Used to be Fox Sports South, but that'll air on Friday night at 5:30, and then we'll re-air Saturday morning as well. But being able to ask him what his favorite bench celebration was, and he said he liked the Thor hammer.
Is that just this, or
I don't know. I didn't see it, but he said, and one of the they put a big emphasis on their bench this year, and they are now, you know how every team videos every game so they can go back and watch film and whatnot. They videoed the bench as well. So the bench will break down film. We're going to have to get him on here to talk about that a little bit.
So there
later,
is a specific camera just on the bench.
Correct.
Because usually when you and I are with our basketball teams, we might see the bench on the side of the action, but there's not a high right camera dedicated to the
yeah,
bench.
Yeah, no. There is a camera dedicated to the bench.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. But very, very happy for them. They've been through it for the last couple of years. And think about how much better it's going to get when they get everybody back.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of bright things along the horizon for really all three of those teams. Men's soccer had a little bit of a tough year last year, but bouncing back this year. Women's soccer under Chris Adams, we talked about the strides that they have made in the offseason, and volleyball as well. But under third year for head coach Chadwell, it feels like he's been here longer.
That's how visible he is.
Right.
You see somebody all the time.
That's true.
You think that, how have you only been here for half of this time? But this feels like this is going to be not just his best year, but maybe a year where Georgia Southern can challenge for a division, maybe even a conference championship.
Yeah, no doubt. So we dive into Georgia Southern football. I will give you the choice. Would you like to conclude our positional breakdown with the linebackers and defensive backs, or would you like to go into Gardner Webb first and then do that?
For the sake of continuity, let's do Gardner Webb. That way we can end talking about the blue and white.
All right.
Because we just had Dave on. He gave us a bunch of nuggets. We can just go off of that.
So Gardner Webb coming in this weekend, 6 o'clock kickoff at Allen E. Paulson Stadium.
Finally.
No
summer's over.
Joke.
We finally got game week. The countdown clock in the office upstairs is about to expire in a couple days.
Well, we'll be on the air with the Cutwater Tailgate Show starting at 4 o'clock back in the tailgate lot. Same spot as always, a new stage, but same location.
Mm-hmm.
But the Gardner Webb Running Bulldogs, that's not running, run in.
Like Raging Cajun.
Correct. There's an apostrophe in there.
Yeah. But this isn't a pepper.
No.
Like they use. This,
no.
It's not a cayenne pepper like they used
no,
in there. And
it's not.
By the way, thankfully, our friends down there, mostly spared with Hurricane Ida that tore through. Our friends in Mobile caught a little bit, but I think they're okay as well. But what happened in New Orleans where everybody's without power, and the fact that it's 16 years to the day after Katrina,
yeah,
you feel absolutely awful for those people that, many of them, I'm sure, going through it a second time. And we know the Sun Belt Conference offices are located in New Orleans, and we hope that they can find some comfort and hopefully they can find a way to help each other and get back to where they should be relatively soon. We know that Tulane had to relocate, and they're not going to be able to host Oklahoma this weekend. It's been rumored that game's going to move to Norman, but maybe they can find a way to meet in the middle, maybe Birmingham, where Georgia Southern went a few years ago to play New Hampshire. Hopefully it goes better for Tulane than that did for Georgia Southern. But
I know if there is somebody that is capable of relocating a team once, maybe twice, I guarantee you it is Shane Meyer.
That binder has been flipped every which way you could imagine the last 48 hours.
Former director of football operations under Coach Fritz here at Georgia Southern, went to Tulane when Coach Fritz headed down to New Orleans as well. But glad to hear everybody that we have heard from so far is A-OK. Not a whole lot of damage that we've even really heard about, but good to hear that everybody is okay, and our thoughts and prayers obviously go out to everybody down in New Orleans. And we will keep you up to date on everybody that we know down there as we kind of find out that. But you look at this Gardner Webb team, again, played in the spring, 4 games, ended up being 2-2, 0-2 in Big South games. It wasn't strictly a conference schedule, but it's still Big South games. So 2-2 the record. And there's a couple of changing parts. We talked about a couple of key departures, on especially at wide receiver. But trying to figure out, a lot like Georgia Southern right now, trying to figure out what the quarterback situation was going to be. But I think you talked about Bailey Fisher. Him having the experience playing under Trey Lamb at Tennessee Tech when Trey Lamb was the offensive coordinator. Now you've got a familiar name. Oh, by the way, Taylor Lamb, the offensive coordinator for Gardner Webb.
App State.
Yeah.
Hello, Taylor.
Yeah. Howdy. How's it going? But
how's your mom, though?
Yeah. But now Bailey Fisher kind of seems to be taking over that number one job.
We mentioned that he was the guy before Gunnar Stockton when Rabun County played in the Irk Russell Classic here at Paulson Stadium. That was Gunnar Stockton's freshman year, so it was right after Fisher finished up what was a legendary career playing for Lee and Jabo Shaw up at Rabun County. If you keep him healthy, dude's good.
Yeah.
There are multiple games where if you keep him upright, because he's dual threat, but if you keep him upright and give him time to throw, he's going to find the open guy.
Yeah.
2018, when he went to Tennessee Tech, that was a team that went 1-10. He was still the Ohio Valley freshman of the year on a team that went 1-10. 2019, vast improvement. They won 6 games. He was second team all league. He broke 6 school records. But the thing about him, he's injury prone. He's had a torn ACL. He missed a lot of time during the spring with a shoulder injury. He tried to come back from it after initially it got suffered against Jacksonville State, but he ended up missing the final 3 games. Ultimately, he transfers out to Gardner Webb to play again for Trey Lamb. The 3 games that he played, well, really 2.5 because he got knocked out of that Jacksonville State game in the second quarter, he was sacked 12 times.
Good night.
In 2.5 games. So it's lucky he got to play as much as he did, considering how much of a beating he took. But if the protection was a little bit better, I think it was feasible that he could have been in the neighborhood of those numbers of 2019, even though they were only going to play seven games anyway. But I think it's highly likely that 14 takes the snaps for Gardner Webb. Now, he mentioned Jai Tolan, a left-hander, so it's a different look, but just a handful of snaps in the spring. I think he threw 9 passes. And then Tavon Bowers, if you're a Netflix fan, somebody that was on QB1 the same year that Jake Fromm and Tate Martell were on at a Bishop McDevitt in Pennsylvania, somebody that played at Wake Forest. But I would highly suspect that Bailey Fisher is going to be your starting quarterback for the Running Bulldogs.
Then we talked about it with Dave as well. You've got Nauri Gaither, junior out of Rock Hill. He's really kind of solidified that running back position, but they've got 3, maybe even 4 guys that you could potentially see getting snaps at running back.
Gaither had a 96-yard touchdown run against Presbyterian in the spring, set a school record, set a Big South record. He ran for over 150 that game. Now, the final 2 games of the spring, I think that people realized, okay, 22's fast, so maybe we keep him inside the tackles. He was limited those last 2 games, held to barely 100 yards combined in those 2 efforts. But Donovan Jones is somebody that he mentioned, a true freshman who's got a lot of ability, multi-time state champion down in Miami. And then with DJ Hancock, he is a terrific story. Trey Lamb thinks a ton of him. There was a video on YouTube when they gave him his scholarship. He was a walk-on, but Trey Lamb spoke about as highly of DJ Hancock as you can of a player that's not your own child. But I would think that somebody like that who is so highly valued is going to get worked into the equation somehow. But make no mistake, Gaither is the bell cow, if you will, of that backfield.
One of the big things that Dave touched on was the offensive and defensive line and putting together our charts. The defensive line really jumps out of...
Yeah.
When you look at these guys, these are dudes. These guys, and I think Dave even said it, most of these guys should not be at a quote-unquote Gardner Webb, and you can take that for what you want, but these guys have the potential to play not just at the Sun Belt Conference level, but maybe even an American and getting into Power 5.
Well, there's no secret that 3 of the 4 guys up front are from Georgia. There's more guys from Georgia on this roster, and we already said Boiling Springs, North Carolina is where Gardner Webb is located. 34 guys on their roster from Georgia.
Yeah.
So they know where the talent is. 3 of the 4 guys up front, Janathan Turner is a senior from Towers High School, Charlie Jackson, a behemoth at 6'4", 323 from Monroe, and then we already talked about Ty French out of Colquitt County. 4 tackles for loss in his debut. He ends up with 8 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 35 stops in 4 games. That's as a defensive end. He was top 10 in the country in both sacks and tackles for loss during the spring season. Where it gets a little jumbled is that this is considered their 2020. They played in the spring, but this is considered fall of 20. So we can't say last season because it just happened a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
It's where it gets, this is where COVID has really muddied up the waters. But they made a lot of improvements, especially against the run. Granted, they were playing a couple of teams that are more known for the pass, but they cut their rush defense about in half from the 2019 season, and that 4-man front is a reason why they're really good.
One of the team numbers, and you know I'm not one to dive deep into stats a whole lot, but what is it Coach Lunsford said? Stats are for losers. But
these way real quick.
But one of the numbers that kind of jumped off the page to me was the opponent third down numbers. And I know it was just 4 games and it was kind of condensed season, but opponents only converting 32% on third down. And that ain't bad.
Well, another example, 2019, it was 44%.
Even better.
You stop the run, you get into third and long, you make the offense do what it doesn't want to do, you get your punt return unit on the field. And that's where typically Devron Harper was one of the top punt returners in the country, but he transferred to Mercer. Isaiah Gavings, number 2 receiver, transfers to Middle Tennessee. So that's why they had to bring in TJ Luther, Justin Jordan from Stetson, Quavon Skaines from UConn, TJ Luther from Wofford. He had a 100-yard kickoff return against VMI in the spring. So they're trying to find speed to make up for what they lost with those 2 guys leaving. It's a little bit of the unknown because you haven't seen them in a live game setting yet because they just played in the spring with those 2 guys.
Yeah.
All of that, no snaps live with Gardner Webb yet, just a couple of scrimmages. So I think Dave is going to be in the same boat that we are. It's his team, but he hasn't seen him. We haven't seen him.
Yeah. looking at the back four for this team, and it's a defense that runs the 4-2-5, so you've got that nickel that's kind of floating between linebacker and defensive back, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But the defensive backs, and A.J. Thomas is a guy that Dave brought up, had two interceptions back in the 2020 season, which was actually in the spring of 21. This is turning into central time for me. Good night.
It only took you 9 years to get that.
Yeah, there it is. But A.J. Thomas is a guy, again, the Georgia connection from just outside of Atlanta and Ackworth and Altoona High School.
Blake Evans.
There it is.
There it is.
Scooter.
There you go.
But so much talent on this secondary, and he talked about him and his broadcast partner fight, whether the defensive front or the defensive backs are going to be who leads this defense.
We talked that three of the front four defensive linemen are from Georgia. Three of the four projected starters in the secondary are from Georgia. Malachi Buckner was a starter in the spring. Tucker High School, Damian Williams, the Georgia Tech transfer. He did not play in a game in Atlanta, but he went to Norcross. Highly touted. He had Power 5 offers all over the place. I think that he has finally settled in there. And he mentioned with Thomas, he was a safety in the spring, had two picks, including one off a tip ball that helped them seal a victory in double overtime against Presbyterian. But he's back to his natural corner position. And with Damian Williams, he was playing corner. He's back to safety, where he is more natural. So I would think that for a unit that's had some moving around, and they also lost one of their starters. Cam McCutcheon was a starting corner. He transferred to Western Carolina. So that's why Raekwon Owsley steps in as the other cornerback.
Flipping it to the Georgia Southern side really quickly before we go into our defensive linebackers and cornerback safeties breakdown. Couple of news, quote-unquote news notes leading into game one. Coach Lunsford talked about it earlier on today at the press conference. James Graham no longer on the team. So he is not in contention for wide receiver, quarterback, what have you, but still no official named starting quarterback. It's still up between Amari Jones, Cam Ransom, Sam Kinnerson, and Coach Lunsford was kind of up front and said you could see one of them, you could see all three, you could see some combination in between.
You could say with the kind of game that this is that, oh, well, they're playing an FCS team, you should see all three. But remember, whoever gets the ball, it's going to be their first career start as a college quarterback.
Yeah.
Kenerson played two snaps last year, one game against Georgia State before he had the shoulder injury. Cam Ransom, true freshman, no college experience. Highly touted as can be, but we haven't seen what he can do when the lights go on and roughly 20,000 people are inside Paulson. Amari Jones, really successful playing in 36 games at Tulane, but it was as an all-purpose guy. In fact, yeah, one of the games he played a year ago against Houston, they lined him up in five different spots on offense. One of those was as a Wildcat quarterback, but as we have brought up in previous editions of this podcast, if he's in at quarterback, this is not just a Wild Eagle. This is where they will test his arm, because he was a really good high school quarterback at Frisco Heritage, yeah, before he suffered that leg and ankle injury. He actually got hurt at Jerry World in a matchup during his senior year, and there's a picture of him in the middle of that massive stadium. It's right on the center of the Dallas Cowboys star, and it's kind of a harrowing image for where it happened and all that, but he can throw the ball.
Yeah.
He can throw the ball. He can run with the football. They're going to try to be as creative as they can be with somebody that hasn't played quarterback in college. Now, right now, he is listed as one of the kick returners, but depending on how much quarterback he does play, that could affect how he's used during in the return game. Now, if it happens that Cam Ransom or Sam Kinnerson rules the roost, then give it to Amari in three and four other ways. We just don't know how that's going to shake out yet. But if I'm sitting here talking to you and talking to everybody watching this, I think we're going to see all three of them on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think with Amari Jones, you know he is going to be on the field.
Yes.
We talked about it with Phil Steele last week. He is too talented with the football to not be on the field in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. So if he's not the quarterback, you will see him at running back. You might even see him as a slot receiver type, yeah, deal. But he is going to be on the field. He is going to be an integral part of what Georgia Southern football is on the offensive side this year.
5 in blue and white will be touching the football somewhere between 10 and 20 times, whether it's as taking snaps, throwing, catching, running in the return game. his hands are going to have to be on the football. And even he spoke after one of the scrimmages. I want to say it was the first scrimmage. He said he's not a quarterback. He played it in high school. Necessity. Took some wild... Would that be the wild wave for Tulane? I feel like you got to adapt it to the
tidal wave.
The tidal wave. But it was more of a token thing. That wasn't where he was a dedicated quarterback. Now, if they only use him a couple of snaps, you can look at it that way for Georgia Southern. But the way that he runs drives in practice sometimes, where he's in there for 10, 15 plays in a row, this isn't just, hey, let's change the pace. This is, he's going to play the position and not be the deviation from the position.
6 o'clock.
Back eight?
Yeah, but we're not done yet.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm Dylan Springer. I'm excited.
He was fired up today at the press conference.
It's Monday.
Yeah.
It's Monday.
6 o'clock kickoff. Georgia Southern, Gardner Webb. Finally, you and I talked about it off air that this has been the longest summer ever. And I think that means we're getting old. Because
oh, absolutely. Well, today, well, you I'm obviously literally today.
Yeah. But as you're a kid, you can never wait for the summer to get there, and then you never want it to end. But now we're like, man, this has been a long summer.
Maybe it's because COVID trained us to think differently, because our season last year ended in the middle of March. So our summer literally was 5 months.
Yeah.
These three have felt like five. So maybe our minds are just rechanneling all of that experience from last year, even though it was quite a bit shorter. But this year, we're not worried every week whether or not we're going to play. There might be a cancellation.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's going to be a forfeit or a no contest because of the changing of the rules, which is the way that it should be. The good thing is that Georgia Southern's vaccination numbers have really jumped the last 2 weeks. I think the last that we were told, 86% of the team has had at least one shot. So by the time Saturday gets here, I don't know if we'll get an official number, but the sign is encouraging. And it seems like Georgia Southern is doing right in that regard. Doesn't mean the other teams are going to, the other 12 that are on the schedule. We're pretty sure that Gardner Webb is going to be making the trip down. Last I had heard, they were around 75, but that's been about a month since they last made their numbers public. I think that was around their media day when that took place in Charlotte. So in theory, they could be right around Georgia Southern, maybe even a little bit better. I think with this year, it's felt so long because the anticipation of seeing what it was is just that much bigger, where the crowd should be close to what it was. Freedom is going to fly. There's going to be a little bit more taking place on the field. Sponsor-wise, Terry was gracious enough to visit with us for a few minutes and tell us about all the food offerings that are going to be in Paulson Stadium. It's going to look different.
Yeah.
And especially for a lot of y'all that weren't there last year because you opted out, which that was your choice and you wanted to stay safe, but it's going to look different for the better. Yeah. And the whole cardboard sliding down the hill from Domino's, I love that.
We're going to have to get Russ to do that at some point.
That might be where he goes first when he gets down here on Saturday.
Him and Frank need to race.
I got a feeling I know who's winning that one.
I don't know. But no, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to have Paulson Stadium full again, to have the parking lots full again, and just have what you know Georgia Southern football game day to be once again. It's going to be a lot of fun. But as we dive into our final segment of this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation, episode number 145. Wow, 145. Going to go through our final position breakdown. Is the back eight in the case of Georgia Southern, since they run the 3-4 defense. You've got the four linebackers, the two corners, two safety positions. And starting with the linebackers, it's some of the familiar names. But you did have Todd Bradley Glenn. Again, Coach Lunsford talked about it last week, I believe it was, saying that he is finished for the season because of another injury, which you absolutely hate it for him. But some familiar names in Randy Wade Jr., Benz Hostway, Trey Allen, guys that have been around, haven't necessarily been the guy in the linebacking core, but have really stepped up at different times. But then you've got different names that you may or may not have heard of. Marquise Watson-Trent is somebody that's going to have to step up in place of Todd Bradley Glenn. One hyphenated name for another.
It only stands to reason.
Oh, no doubt. And then somebody that I'm really excited about, and we've talked about before, Kadri Jackson, the transfer in from North Carolina.
Yeah.
I think he is going to play a big part of what Georgia Southern's defense is, along with Kevon Glenn, the transfer in from Florida State.
The expectation is, especially with Kadri, he's going to be on the field quite a bit. Kevon has made some strides since he got here. It didn't work out for him at Florida State. Now, granted, he was incredibly valuable at Dutchtown High School. He had an outstanding career. He was one of the best players in the state of Georgia for a really good program there, but only played in 5 games in 2 years at Florida State. For Kadri, somebody that was on the roster during spring ball and then left over the summer to come here, he's going to be involved because those two inside linebacker spots were manned by guys that left the program.
Yeah.
Rashad Byrd finished up, Raynard Ellis opting out before the end of the season. I love it for Trey Allen because he's waited his turn. A great Georgia Southern story. He's been a reserve for 4 years. When he's been asked to play, he's done well. It just hasn't been that much. He had the tackle for loss against Louisiana Tech in the bowl game last year. I hope it works out for him because he is somebody who has worked and waited a chance to earn it. Watson-Trent is somebody that played some of the best high school football in the country, Whippoorwill ball in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, and Blackhawk High School. Somebody that was good on special teams last year in the vein of a Najee Thompson or a Seth Robertson, who we'll get to in a minute as one of the reserve corners. You know how I love Randy Wade. He's a 4-year starter that's going to become a 5th-year starter. And Josue got the chance to play a bunch last year when Zion McGee went down with injury. Now they're both healthy, but Benz was so good in the back half of the year that it's his job. But you've got McGee, somebody that started 9 career games, that if something happens where he'd have to go, or just for depth purposes, he can step right in.
And Benz Josue was a guy that when he was on the field, you felt like he was around the ball the entire game. There were so many times that I would look down and see number 5 in blue and white and have to point to him. I got tired of pointing to him, but I guess that's a good thing.
He's the best blitzing linebacker Georgia Southern has, and he showcased that during the South Alabama game. It's even better when it's on national television, but if you need somebody to get to the quarterback from the edge, Benz is the best one to do it. Now, Randy's got his own physical attributes, but Benz takes the cake when it comes to blitzing from the edge.
Can't leave out a guy like Quinn Williams out of Madison, Georgia, the redshirt junior. He's a guy that has put in some time, 26 career games at Georgia Southern, but being able to get to this too deep, being able to back up Randy Wade, and it's like we talked about with the defensive line, you're going to see all of these guys on the field at certain times because with as many up-tempo teams as Georgia Southern sees, you're going to have to get guys in when you can.
Well, you just got to hope the offense subs.
That too.
You hope they sub so guys can get filtered in. And that's a concept that we've gone over with the defensive line because Vic Cabral likes to play a number of different guys. Back 8, you don't see as many subs sometimes in the secondary. Depth-wise this year, though, with Canteen and Baker having those 2 corner spots locked down and with as well as Wilson and Birdsong played at safety, we'll just have to see where the opportunities are.
This is a secondary that going into last year, you didn't really know what to expect. You knew you had Daryl Baker back there, but had to fight some injuries a little bit last year. But you knew what you had, but you didn't know how it would translate into the game. But guys like Anthony Wilson, Derek Canteen really stepped up for this team in a big-time way. You had Justin Birdsong really step up, playing a couple of different positions for this defense in the secondary, and then Daryl Baker just doing what he does, just show up, do it, and does it pretty well.
You know, coming into last year, it was, okay, how is that secondary going to respond from losing Kendall Vildor and Monquavion Brinson, two guys that were basically 4-year starters? I mean, Man was in just about from the beginning, school record holder in pass breakups. I'll start with Birdsong because whenever we visit with Scott Sloan on Thursdays, we might have a list of things that he wants to talk about. Somehow it always gets back to Birdsong and how intelligent he is on that back end, how solid he is, how well he knows this scheme, and the fact that he can play all 4 positions. He did play all 4 positions at one point last year. In fact, so did Daryl Baker.
Yeah.
In fact, Daryl did it in 1 game against UMass. He ended up getting the interception against UMass when he was playing safety on a ball that could have been a passing touchdown. But Birdsong is somebody like a Trey Allen, heavily recruited, could have gone to Iowa State, decided Georgia Southern was the better fit. He also could have gone to Appalachian State. but somebody that decided Statesboro was for him. He had to wait. He had to work. He had to find that opportunity, and he had two picks in the bowl game. Made the all-bowl team, wore the GATA chain twice. I hope he gets a chance to wear it a lot more this year. We know what Canteen can do. We've seen Daryl Baker for 5 years now. Yeah. And with Anthony Wilson, he came close to so many picks last year, finally got one in the bowl game, and it was a great play that he made in the second quarter. I like the starting four in the secondary.
When you look at the depth for the secondary, on the two corners, you've got guys that have played: Seth Robertson with 11 career games, Tyler Bride with 9. And then up the middle in the safeties, there's not a whole lot of experience, but there's a lot of talent with the two guys backing up Birdsong and Wilson and Tyrell Davis and Mizell Williams.
Two true freshmen, but two early enrollees.
Yeah.
Two guys that went through spring practice. They got that jump in order to get acclimated to the college game, and it turns out that where they are, it was that much more necessary. Williams from Florida, somebody that had FBS looks. Tyrell Davis, Hickory Ridge in North Carolina, somebody that had FBS looks. They're going to play.
Yeah.
It's a matter of how they're going to fit into the equation. And for a defense that led the country in interceptions and turnovers forced last year, the opportunities are going to be there. And we know that defense put up some gaudy numbers last year. And even though you do lose a Bird, you lose an Ellis, you lose a Raymond Johnson up front, not just as a pass rusher, but also in run support. And I know we already talked about the defensive line. But the pieces are going to slide together a little bit differently. Scott Sloan has used the phrase, you got to rearrange the deck chairs. Maybe somebody that was here is going to have to go there, like a Daryl Baker who can play just about everywhere in the secondary. But whatever it has been, in 3 years under Scott Sloan, this has been, at the worst, a solid unit. At the worst, a solid unit.
No doubt. And there's something that I think doesn't get brought up enough as it should, is the defensive staff that is here. We talk about Scott Sloan, Doug Roos now on the offensive coordinator role, and for good reason, those two are two of the best in the country at doing what they do. But the position coaches for this defensive staff have been here for a couple of years. One, I know the offensive side has changed a little bit over the last couple of years, but for the last 3-4 years, you've had the same defensive staff. And it's guys that have had coordinating experience, have had a lot of experience at big-time opportunities, and are really, really good at what they do. You look at Vic Cabral up front, Travis Cunningham, Jeremy Rao, Kevin Whitley, guys like that that really know what they're doing. And oh, by the way, you've got Scott Sloan leading the way.
With Whitley having been a really successful high school coach, he coached Kendrick Duncan at Stockbridge. Travis Cunningham was a coordinator for a spell at Gardner-Webb, his alma mater, where he basically spent 2 decades. Their SID, Mark Rabb, is really excited to get a chance to catch up with him. He's been there for 25 years, so I'm sure they'll rehash all their wild days in Blue Springs, North Carolina. But TC played there. He was a long snapper linebacker for 2 years. He was on the coaching staff when they came here last in 2002, and he remembered that day. He said, you know, he's got that real Tennessee draw about him. Yeah. You know, those students, they were loud, and they were mean. And then Gardner-Webb lost 56-0, so I guess they were pretty mean. And then with JR, he was a 6-year coordinator running defenses at Troy under Larry Blakeney, assistant coach there for 15 years. I still think that he's one of the most unsung coaches anywhere.
No doubt.
I think that he is just outstanding at what he does. But that consistency, that knowledge, all of that experience, it's no surprise as to why this defense has been so good year in and year out.
I was just thinking about that earlier today. It's amazing that there's not more talked about this defensive staff. I know we talk about the defense a lot and what they're able to do on the field, but it starts in those meeting rooms. It starts with that recruiting. But the defensive staff that is here at Georgia, and that's no knock on the offensive side. They're fantastic at what they do as well. But just what this defensive staff really means.
And it's hard for me to assess if it's more challenging to keep an offensive staff together as opposed to a defensive staff.
Yeah.
That's different. You've got 130 FBS schools. You've got multiple levels. It varies from place to place depending on what you want to get accomplished. But that defensive meeting room, you have a lot of personalities that enjoy working together, spending time together. That doesn't mean that the offense hasn't.
Yeah.
But different opportunities come up. Circumstances come up. defensively, you're lucky that TC's going into year four. Rao's going into year six now. Because remember, Rao got here in 16.
Yeah.
Thinking about a Kevin Whitley that's going into his third year. Vic's going into his fourth year back in this stint. I don't know how many stints this is for Vic. It's up in the air. I think this is his fourth officially. And then with Sloan, year four in stint two. So there's been consistency. There has been success. It just clicks.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for guys to leave when things go that well.
It's going to be fun to watch it click this Saturday. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff. Georgia Southern, Gardner Webb. 6 o'clock kickoff will be on the air with the Cutwater Tailgate Show in the back of the tailgate lot beginning at 4 o'clock. And then we will lead you up to kickoff for Georgia Southern and the Gardner Webb Running Bulldogs. Remember, on Thursday night over at the Gene Bishop Fieldhouse, come on out to the debut of Hail Southern Live. It's the new coaches show for Georgia Southern football. We'll catch up with a special guest to start off the show, and then we will...
Do we know who that is yet, or is that to be determined?
A little bit of both. We have a pool that one of the three of them it's going to be.
But make no mistake, this is still primarily based towards football, so we'll hear plenty from head coach Chad Lunsford previewing that week's opponent, wherever we are, whoever we're going to play, but a little bit of a different idea. Branding this as Hail Southern Live, we'll try to incorporate other elements of Georgia Southern athletics.
It'll still be from 7 to 8 p.m. at night. You can listen on the Georgia Southern Sports Network. You can watch it here on Facebook Live. You can watch it on gseagles.com, on YouTube Live, not YouTube TV. That's real TV. YouTube Live for Georgia Southern Athletics and for the Georgia Southern Sports Network. So it's going to be a lot of different places. Wherever you would like to view it, let us know where you're viewing it from, and we will make sure to push more content that way. But until this weekend, for the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.